Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is written for us in St. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at the 18th verse. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother, Mary, was pledged in marriage to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her, so he decided to divorce her privately. But as he was considering these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this happened to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he was not intimate with her until she gave birth to her firstborn son, and he named him Jesus. So, Father, words of our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have once again come to your house to hear your word. We pray that you would speak to us through it. Increase our faith in this one who was born of the Virgin, Jesus the Christ, our Savior. Make us more and more confident that he has won for us the forgiveness of all our sins. Therefore, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed. When my wife and I lived in Arizona, there was a period of time where we were foster parents. And it's a very noble task, but it's a very difficult task. And I can remember one particular night we had an infant that we'd taken home from the hospital. And he was just screaming. He was probably withdrawing from some of the drugs that his mom had taken while he was in utero. And I just remember being so frustrated, probably more frustrated than I'd ever been with any of my own kids who at times had been up at night, I wouldn't say screaming, but definitely not letting me sleep. And I just reached a point where I almost felt like I was going to snap. And I wondered, well, wait a minute. You've managed to be patient with all of your own kids. Why are you feeling extra frustrated with this kid? And I had to wonder if part of it was, it's not really mine. It can be more difficult to love and persevere when the child isn't yours biologically. And so in that moment, I had to remind myself that I chose to be a foster parent. It wasn't this child's fault. Neither was the mother's bad habits. I chose to be here. And so I had to renew mentally my commitment to love this child. I think we would probably naturally agree that it's easier to love our own biological children. Maybe it's because we don't have a choice. They're ours, right? But to take on someone else's child and to love that child as if it were my very own, that definitely is a noble task and a difficult task. Today is Annunciation Day. It's March 25th, exactly 9 months before December 25th. It's the time of year that the church has appointed to celebrate the Annunciation, and that is the announcement of the conception of God's Son in the Virgin Mary. But you'll notice our text doesn't really say much about Mary. This text is written, you might say, from Joseph's perspective. And when we think about the virgin birth of Jesus, God's Son, in human flesh, it's easy for us to think about Mary. But Joseph also had a very important role in the upbringing of the Messiah. And what God asked Joseph to do in our text before us was no easy thing. He was being asked to take Mary home with a child in her as if that child were his. He was being asked to care and father that child, care for and father that child as if it was from his own flesh. Now, not only is that difficult, loving and caring for someone that doesn't belong to us, but there was also another aspect to taking Mary home as his wife. What would everyone have thought? Our text specifically tells us Joseph was a righteous man. He was known for his righteousness. Of very few people in the Bible does it say they were righteous. But Joseph is given that recognition in our text. And it's even demonstrated that he could have made a public disgrace of Mary. But out of love and concern for her, he was going to divorce her privately. He wanted to try and spare her from as much public disgrace as he could. But to take Mary home would have been to act as if the child was his. What would have the community thought? Oh yeah, we thought Joseph was a good guy. But obviously he's not as good as what we thought. Taking Mary home and acting as if the baby in her is his was imputed unrighteousness. He was taking on guilt that didn't belong to him. And yet he obeyed the Lord and took Jesus home and raised him as if he was his. A great example, but probably a great lesson for Jesus too. Notice our text tells us, or told Joseph and therefore us, that this child to be born of Mary was to be given the name Jesus, okay, which is the Greek equivalent of Joshua, the Lord saves. It was a common name at Jesus' time. Okay? But it was a name that Jesus not only took as a name, but wore as a title. He was to save his people from their sins. Jesus took on Joshua, Yeshua, or Jesus, and wore it as a title. He was going to be the Savior. Now, what does that mean for him? It means that he would have to be imputed with unrighteousness. Big words for saying he would have to carry your sins. Joseph was willing to do that for Jesus and for Mary. He took on whatever unrighteousness the community thought. You might say it wasn't real. But the unrighteousness that Jesus bore was real. And you know how real it is, because of part of it is yours. Your guilt, your sins. Jesus was imputed with that. That means God credited Jesus with those sins. And Jesus willingly carried those sins just like his father did, his earthly adopted father, and bore whatever the consequences were. Joseph willingly submitted to the will of the Father. Jesus willingly submitted to the will of the Father and bore the suffering that our sins deserve. So when we look at the cross, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're seeing. That God has transferred our guilt onto Jesus and made him suffer and die in our place. And Jesus lovingly, willingly did it all. And so when the angel said to Joseph, he will save his people from their sins, God wants you to hear in that message from the angel, he will save me from my sins. You are a part of his people because he has borne the sins of the whole world. And that definitely means yours. So Jesus is not just a Savior. He's your Savior. He's not just God in the flesh to save mankind, born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's God in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary to save you. Because he doesn't just love the mass of humanity. He loves you. And he submitted to the will of the Father out of love for the Father and out of love for you. So it's very fitting that we would have Annunciation in Lent, because it's the very purpose for which he was born, to be the Savior of his people, to be your Savior from sin. May God bless you as you meditate upon the birth, the life, the death, and in Easter, the triumphant resurrection of your Savior, Jesus the Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.